Happy Halloween, and welcome to another episode of Cutting the Curd on the Heritage Radio Network. Today we have a milk-curdling episode of all of our scariest cheese stories for everybody. Sorry for the cheesy joke there. I'm your host, Ann Saxelby. Our show today has been sponsored by Cane Vineyard and Winery. Cane Vineyard and Winery supports Heritage Radio and the growing movement to change how Americans eat and how we think about our planet. The show is being produced by Jack Inslee, engineered by Nat Wiener, and my co-host today is Shauna Pacifico, who is the chef at Back 40.
Hello.
Thanks for coming on,
Shauna. No, thanks for having me.
So this week I sent out a call to all my favorite cheese people for scary cheese stories, and came up with surprisingly few, which actually really surprised me. I was thinking, you know, of all the cheesemakers out there, cheese sellers, you know, people have encountered some crazy stuff over the years, but
ghosts in the cellar,
yeah, all that kind of stuff. But maybe, you know, their cheese is just of such, you know, impeccable quality that nothing bad ever happens, which is actually, I guess
that's good. That means they're good at their craft.
Yeah. But so, you know, I thought Halloween, we've got to come up with some scary cheese stories. And I was actually watching Jeopardy the other night, and I don't know. Alex Trebek just kind of inspired me. I started coming up with all these categories of, like, you know, scary cheese things that we could do on the radio. So I was thinking, okay, first of all, there's just scary cheese, types of scary cheese. So we can talk about that.
Yeah.
There are, there's creepy crawlies.
Mites, they're called, I think.
Yeah. And all sorts of other little organisms and things that, that are in cheese.
Spooky.
Very spooky. Those things you can't see, or can sometimes, even spookier. I thought we could do, FedEx/airport mishaps. Because, yeah, you know, when you're traveling with cheese or trying to send cheese places, that can oftentimes lead to some scary stories.
People are looking at you strangely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ugh, it happens all the time. I thought we could do I effed up that cheese, because I know that I have been in that situation with you actually once. So we can talk about that.
That was interesting.
Yeah. And hey, if any of our listeners out there have stories, scary cheese stories, scary dairy stories, give us a call at 718-497-2128. You can also follow us on Twitter at HRN Updates. If you like the show and you are hearing this in a podcast afterwards, submit your scary cheese story and we will put it up on the web. Or you can also email us scary cheese stories or questions at info@heritageradionetwork.com. So where do we start?
I don't know. Maybe we should just start with our cheese adventure.
Our cheese adventure? Okay, that sounds good.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Our inadequacies at making cheese.
It was so inadequate. So this all came about because Shauna and I decided that we were going to try to make some ficelle, which is a really delicious fresh cheese that's essentially just fresh curd in a mold with holes punched in it.
Yeah, it's kind of like yogurty, but not yogurt.
But it's more custardy, I guess.
Yeah, I would say more custardy.
Yeah. And so we thought, hey, like, this is a fresh cheese. We can totally do this.
Oh yeah, it seems so easy.
Yeah. My problem is, and has always been, that I just want things to happen, like, right now. And especially with cheese, you can't really do that. You have to, like, actually plan ahead and, you know, allow for coagulation to happen.
Yeah.
And so we did most things right. We, like, went and got good milk.
I think the most important thing we didn't do right. We just put a pinch of this and a pinch of that. And I'm a chef and that's how I cook. I'm not a pastry chef, and pastry is, like, very precise, and you can't just put a pinch of anything.
Well, I remember reading the recipe the day that I was coming to hang out with you to try to make cheese, and it's like the night before, and I was like, oh crap, we're already, like, totally behind. We can never do this.
We're never gonna make it.
It's like making bread. You're supposed to culture your milk, like, you know, 12 or 18 hours before you actually make the ficelle, but I thought we could fast track it.
Yeah. No, you can't fast track cheese. Cheese needs time.
No. Well, so, but we ended up, we did end up getting something that resembled, you know, a curdled.
It did curdled quickly.
Very quickly.
Very quickly. Because basically Anne was just like, oh, wait, maybe a little bit more. Just a little bit more. And
all of a sudden we had really nice looking curd. And so we're like, sweet, this is going to be, like, excellent ficelle. So we just,
and
like,
it tasted really fresh. We had milk from Milk Thistle from Union Square Market. it tasted good then.
It tasted really good. And so we thought, okay, well, now we just have to let it drain, you know, like the recipe says. And then, you know, tomorrow, whatever, it'll be ready to serve. And I wasn't there later that night, but Shauna can tell you what happened.
So I go downstairs to the basement where the cheese is, you know.
In its cellar.
In its cellar of New York City basement kitchen. Who knows what's flying around in the air down there? Not controlled in any way.
But I mean, let's face it, the cheese was doomed from the start.
I'm going to blame the environment.
The basement probably helped in some way.
I think I tried it that night, and then it was kind of a little funky, and I was like, oh, maybe it's getting a little sour. It's getting a little bit of that yogurty flavor, because before that, it just tasted like curdled milk. Mm-hmm. Didn't really have a cheese flavor. And then I think I just kind of let it sit out overnight. And then I went back in the morning. and I went in with gusto. Like, I was like, I'm going to take a big bite of this wonderful cheese we made. And I think I ate baby vomit. And I was just like, literally spit it out over the counter. My prep guy was like, what is, like, laughing at me. Like, I was just like, it smelled like baby vomit.
Cheese gone wrong. That's, yeah, or also known as I effed up that cheese. You heard it here first.
We both did it. Ryan Tate was there with us too, so.
Yeah, he was there with us too. He, you know, I think we need to have a round two where we actually prep properly and, like, you know, do it
overnight.
Maybe
like 2 days of
Yeah. We can, like, sleep over, check on it at night. All right. So that was our personal scary cheese story. I have one more, and I will not name, you know, where I was at the time when I did this, but I made a batch of cheese once, a blue cheese, that, you know, subsequently developed this crazy fluorescent fungus on it, something, or fungus bacteria. I'm not sure. I think, you know, after a little bit of research and talking to some people in France, I think it's a form of Pseudomonas, which is actually kind of common in cheese making. It's not good, but it, you know, is a common.
Easily happens.
Yeah. And it turned these wheels of blue cheese literally like fluorescent yellow, like they've been colored on with a highlighter.
That's so strange.
Yeah.
Does it alter the flavor, or?
It can lead to bitter flavors. Mm. And yeah, I think that batch of cheese was kind of doomed too.
Did you get in trouble for that? Or did they make fun of you?
They kind of made fun of me a little bit. Yeah, they were nice about it.
Is that when you decided to give up cheese making?
Yeah, I was like, maybe I should have a shop. I'm better at talking about it than I am at making it. But so some other scary cheeses that I have come across in the years. Well, first of all, I mean, that breast milk cheese this year.
I can't wait to try it.
That was scary.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's, I don't know who it was, but it was here in New York.
Here in New York, a chef.
His wife had a baby, right?
Yeah. And he supposedly, apparently.
Or I don't know, maybe he was, you know, saw a pregnant woman down the street and followed her home. Who knows? And standing outside of, like, hospital delivery rooms.
Yeah. Hey, how do you feel about this experiment?
But that sounds disgusting.
Yeah. And so he made the breast milk cheese, and not only, you know, I could understand, I guess, if somebody was curious and they wanted to do that and just try it at home or whatever, but he was serving it in his restaurant.
Was he serving it in the restaurant? Is that legal?
Probably not.
I mean, it's kind of, you know, sometimes, you know, being a chef, I think about cannibalism.
Really?
Yeah. It sometimes comes
it is
up.
Halloween. We can talk about it. We can talk about it.
Yeah. Well, just kind of like, you know, especially working with, like, grass-fed meats and, like, pasture-raised animals at the restaurant, like, it's, you know, brought up in conversation of, like, what does human taste like? Because if we're basing what our meats taste like on what the animal eats, you know, then we all kind of go through the restaurant of who's going to be the tastiest and because of what they eat, or who's, you know, the chubbiest one and they're going to be tastier. Yeah. Who smokes too much is going to be, like, the gross one. So, like, you know, this is what we do when we're slow in the restaurant.
Yeah.
But, like, so, you know, milk is based off of, you know,
your diet.
Your diet of the, you know, the cows are grazing and, you know, eating the grass. You know, so I can't imagine that breast milk from is going to be good.
Well, it's very funny, actually, because I was called by some news network. I can't remember who it was now, like ABC or NBC, they're at their New York affiliate. And they wanted me to go on TV and taste this cheese as, like, a cheese expert.
Breast milk cheese?
Yeah. And I said, no way. And then I thought of my friend, a friend of mine who's a little bit more adventurous than I am and has a really, she's a good sport about all this stuff. And so I thought, maybe she'll do it. And so I called her up, and it's very funny because she said exactly that. She said, you know what? She's like, cheese is about terroir. She's like, I don't know what the terroir of that cheese is. She's like, is it, you know, farmer's market greens and like, yeah, pastured chickens? Or is it like Charleston chews and like Arby's roast beef sandwiches? And I was like, I have no idea.
Yeah. Like, I mean, there's the tons of chemicals that are in our systems from just breathing the air here. Like, we can't taste good.
Yeah.
And the milk we produce probably doesn't taste good either.
Oh, well, so to go to the opposite extreme of breast milk cheese, which comes from us. The other scary cheese that it just occurred to me before the show is that vegan cheese.
I don't think vegan cheese. I mean, like, I don't think that it should be allowed to be called cheese.
No, definitely not.
That's, I mean, that's, I think that should be illegal to say that that's cheese.
It's like fermented walnut paste. Which is, you know, maybe valuable to digestion in some way, but it's definitely scary, and it's definitely not cheese.
Not cheese.
No.
Definitely not cheese.
And speaking of not cheese, you had mentioned American cheese.
I did. Of what's, you know, let's talk about the bad, gross cheese that, I mean, I'm sure we've all eaten it many times in our childhood. And I pulled up the ingredient list here on my trusty iPhone.
The Oracle.
Yeah, which probably is gonna die any minute. So the ingredients,
it's a long list.
So I'm gonna, it's, yeah, it's not that, it's actually not that long. Like, I assumed that there would be, like, you know, dye number whatever. So it's whey, milk fat, milk protein concentrate, whey protein concentrate, and salt. But when some of these or other substitutes are used, it does not meet the legal definition of cheese and must be labeled as cheese analog, cheese product, processed cheese, or similar. So I don't really... Cheese analog?
Cheese analog. That's like... that's postmodern. That's postmodern cheese, if there ever was. That's amazing. So Kraft cheese.
Kraft cheese.
American cheese, not cheese. Started it off as sort of being cheese, but then it's kind of evolved into this other thing.
Like, it's like plastic that melts.
Yeah. It is kind of good on a burger every once in a while.
No, it's, yeah, I still eat it. You, yeah, know, you get a deli sandwich, put some white American cheese in there.
Exactly. Well, actually, so I was pulling weird things up on the internet the other day, and I found, since we're talking about Kraft, Kraft, it says Kraft macaroni... anti-intestinal worm cheese.
What?
Yeah. Insane. It says Kraft Foods is teaming up with pesticide maker Tyratech to create a food that will also kill intestinal worms. Kraft has not said what type of food is being created, but that it will aim to sell the food in rural areas of Asia, Africa, and South America. All of these locations have significant problems with intestinal worms, particularly in children. So yeah, it said the food, whatever it may be, they don't say it's cheese, will contain deworming chemicals from Tyratech, who currently make safe pesticides
from plant oils. Why don't they just give them a deworming pill?
Yeah.
Why do you have to put it in the food?
Well, hey, you know, Kraft macaroni and anti-worming
they're
cheese.
Crafty.
Yeah, they are crafty with a K. So I thought that was pretty scary.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, cheese as vehicle for...
What else are they hiding in there? I mean, that just goes to show you, like, what are they really hiding in food?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
What are they putting in there that we don't know?
That we don't know, that we don't want. Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, let's see. Those are some scary cheeses. I think, actually, we're up for a short break, and when we come back, we can get into the creepy crawlies category, airport mishaps, and we're going to have a live story. Stick with us on Cutting the Curd.
We'll be right back.
We're back.
We're back.
I'm Cutting the Curd. Some supernatural force cut our scary music off during the break time. Yeah,
there's a ghost in here.
I just see a wild boar head on the wall.
But maybe who knows? Who knows too? What happened in this refurbished? What is it? A shipping?
The shipping container. Absolutely. All right. So we have a couple people actually who are going to come tell some stories, some scary cheese stories on the radio, which I'm super excited about. But before we get to the stories, we're going to talk about our creepy crawly categories.
Yeah, this one's creepy.
Yeah, creepy crawlies for 400, Alex.
The answer is...
Yeah. What are cheese mites? Cheese mites are definitely creepy crawlies.
Yeah.
They're actually... I have a picture of them here. They're pretty terrifying looking when they magnify them to this degree.
And they look like dust.
They look like dust, yeah, when to the human eye. And what they do is cheese mites actually live on the rinds of cheeses. And they eat the rind and they kind of help to ripen the cheese. But they are definitely alive.
I remember we were up at Jasper Hill and he was showing us the Cabot cloth bound cheddar, and I was, you know, Mateo. Mm-hmm. And it was just kind of blew my mind because I'm like, oh, it's like so dusty in here and everything's like covered in this like yellow orangish
dust.
And then he went on to explain that it's all mites, and he, you know, ran his finger along an edge of the shelf, and then you just sat there and watched them and they all just kind of came back together. It was really creepy. It kind of made you itch a little bit because you're like, oh, there's so many of them.
They're in the air. See, that's the difference between Americans and French people, though, because Americans call them cheese mites and they're seen as like, you know, kind of, yeah, scary, creepy crawlies. And the French call them les petites amies.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I love the French.
Yeah. And so my only other creepy crawly story, which actually could probably fall into the scary cheese category, is that infamous Sicilian cheese called Casu Marzu, which is a pecorino that's made in It's from Sardinia. It's a Sardinian pecorino cheese made from sheep's milk that they age in a cave, and then they lob the top off the wheel and put it back in the cave for 3 weeks or so. And during that time, flies fly in and out of the building. They lay their eggs in the cheese. They wait for the larvae to hatch, and then the maggots start to eat the cheese, and then they decide...
It's time.
Hey, like it's time to eat the Casu Marzu.
Yes, when you told me that story a few minutes ago, I gagged.
Yeah.
They eat the maggots and the cheese.
They eat the maggots and the cheese. They just scoop it all out of the cheese wheel, and they smear it on bread, and it is an absolute delicacy for them. We have some guests, which I'm super excited about. And we're going to tell some scary cheese stories. Our first cheese story is going to come from, I'm going to let her introduce herself.
Hey, I'm Amy Kenyon, from Farm Catskills up in Delaware County.
We love Delaware County.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were up there, for the Watershed Agriculture Council meeting, last spring.
Okay, so you know Chally Comer,
yeah. She's awesome. Yeah, and the folks at Tanja's Farm, mm-hmm. And yeah, there's a lot of great dairy going on up there.
Cool.
Your scary cheese story for this Halloween.
Wow, I'm not sure how scary it is. Leah and I were just
it's kind of scary.
And, yeah. talking about cheese and dairy farms and how we want to save dairy farms up in the Catskill region because that's what's produced there. So we were talking about how much milk every cow makes, which is like, you know, enough to make, you would know better than I, but probably like 1,500 pounds of cheese a year at least.
I've heard 40 to 50 pounds a day, which is like between,
yeah.
Yeah, 4 and 6 gallons maybe.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So anyway, so cows make a ton of milk.
Tons.
And, yeah, so if you did the math and how many cows are in even just Delaware County where I'm from, we were figuring that people would have to eat... If it went into, let's say, pizza cheese, because we were eating pizza, people would probably have to eat pizza every single day to eat all the cheese that would come out of Delaware County. We thought that was really scary. So
that's scary, but like good.
Yeah, in scary. A good way. It's good scary. We have a big challenge ahead of us.
There's no problem of hunger then. I mean, if you can make cheese, we don't have to go hungry.
Yeah. Can have a pizza eating contest here at Roberta's. for next Halloween.
Yeah, great.
To rival the Nathan's hot dog eating.
Yeah, we'll have to I'll judge.
You're not going to throw down.
No, I don't think I can. Oh, that's too much cheese. Like a cheese eating contest?
Yeah.
Well, maybe by next Halloween we could have like the Catskills pizza cheese to have as part of our cheese eating contest.
That would be incredible. Yeah, yeah, the real scary thing is right now how much milk is being diverted to sources that, are not local in any respect.
Yeah,
those people are selling their milk and it's probably being separated into five different parts, and one part's being sold to India, one part's being sold to New Zealand, yeah, one part's being sold to Kraft Foods, and you know, that's truly scary.
Yeah. So, my brother's a dairy farmer and it goes on the truck and he doesn't see it again. And you know, he can just sort of only take it
and
so
they're
far.
Not making money.
No. They're losing money.
They're losing money.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah. Really,
that's the scary part also.
Yeah.
That's definitely very scary. Yeah, when you think about what happens. With dairy farms, they're very land extensive. You know, your typical small farm, family farm will use maybe 400 or 500 acres. So when that farm goes out of business, that has a huge impact. So
yeah,
that is a scary story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scary, but hopeful.
Yeah.
Pizza cheese.
I like
in the Catskills. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
That would be good. It'd be a good event to bring some awareness to our local milk and how to, you know, get people more involved.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So stay tuned. We're going to follow up with that for sure on the show and figure out how to make that scary story a more hopeful story.
So you want to hear my scary cheese story?
Yes, I do.
So there's this beautiful, 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 sexy female poodle. And she, you know, this is all stuff we've extrapolated because, of course, you know, we don't know what dogs are saying. But she was interviewing three male dogs. Kind of court her. And she was like, I want you to court me by, you know, whatever you're going to do with this piece of raw milk cheese right here. You know, I want you to use cheese in the thing. And this is how you're going to know why it's scary now. Is there was just a regular, like, the
Golden Retriever.
Golden Retriever.
Yeah.
And he went and he licked the cheese. And so, in a weird way, he was saying, I like the cheese.
Uh-huh.
She was like, next. Next came a pit bull. And he turned his head. Kind of, you just knew he didn't like it. He was like, I don't like cheese.
Yeah. Oh, she's like, out of
next.
There.
This is where it gets scary. So the third one was a chihuahua, and it was hideous. It would had boils and bunions and it was just the ugliest chihuahua of all time. I mean, you could like turn faces to stone. And he was the last one left, so he's like, leave her alone, she's mine.
Really?
Well, thank goodness the chihuahua had boils and not the cheese, because we've seen that too. Oh man, those are good. Those are really scary cheese stories. Well, since this is, you know, sort of we've decided to do today's show in sort of a Jeopardy fashion, because Patrick and I were watching Jeopardy the other night. So the category we haven't gotten to yet is FedEx/airport mishaps, and you know, maybe you guys can contribute on that front.
Have you brought cheese in from out of the country? And
have you guys ever smuggled cheese and had like a horrifying story?
Stink up the cabin.
I
actually remembered a story I have, and it's actually some cheese I bought from you. I think it was the Landoff cheese, which I in the springtime was doing an asparagus dish at the restaurant with some shaved Landoff on it, which was really good. And I was actually going to a friend's party, like a potluck, and I was like, oh, I'll just make this dish. And I was on the train, and I wrapped it, the container in foil, but I don't think I wrapped it properly. And every once in a while, like if I'd move the cheese, you know, like they would get a whiff of this asparagus and cheese, which you might think smells good. But it doesn't.
Yeah.
People got up and moved away from me because it smelled like I pooped my pants. And I was just like trying to be like, it's just the cheese. And they were all like looking at me strangely.
Like that girl is having a bad day. I try to sell that to people as a strategy for rush hour. I'm like, all you have to do is buy a piece of this Grayson and you will have the entire subway seat to yourself.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
true. Actually, the whole half of the car that you're in. Well, the worst cheese transport mishap that I heard about was I'm remembering this story, but I'm pretty sure it was Woodcock Farm in Vermont. They were bringing cheese to their first appearance at the Slow Food Cheese Festival in Italy, and this was probably over 10 years ago. But they were, you know, not allowed by the Italian government to ship the cheese in any kind of a legitimate way. So they had no choice but to just bootleg it, you know, put it in their suitcase and schlep it over there and hope for the best. And the suitcases were lost by Alitalia, which, you know, means that they were really lost. And when they finally got their suitcases back, more than a week had passed. And this poor woman, her suitcase was basically a sea of cheese and clothing that...
Cheese melted. I mean, it can't be... it wasn't together, right? They were...
Oh, no, well, they were together. The cheese and the clothing had become one by the time she got the suitcase back. But, yeah, I thought that was a pretty bad one. Also, Grayson is a cheese that we get from Virginia that is pretty stinky, and it comes with a label on the top of the box that says, "This box contains cheese, which can sometimes emit a pungent odor. Please do not discard without proper authorization." Which I think is very, you know, prudent of the cheesemaker to do that, because they probably lost a lot of
cheese. They probably learned their lesson.
Absolutely.
You see the FedEx guy be like, what is this smell?
Yeah. He's like, get this out of the truck. Actually, another advantage, you know, now the FedEx guy knows me. He knows that my packages smell, you know, bad, and so I'm the first on his delivery route now, because he just wants to get rid of them.
Anytime he smells cheese, he'll always think of you.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. We make him sandwiches every once in a while to try and get on his good side. Well, I have two more random cheese stories. One is movies involving cheese. And Patrick and I were recounting what movies, you know, have ridiculous cheese stories. And the one that we came up with was Kingpin, which was starring Woody Harrelson, where he goes to stay with an Amish family for some time. And
who was played by Randy Quaid, was the head Amish guy.
Thank you.
I could not live without that information.
That information.
He's a very funny guy. Yeah. As is Woody Harrelson.
That is true. So Woody Harrelson goes out and his job is to milk the cows. And, you know, so he comes back, like, you know, quite some time later, looking very fatigued. And
with all this, like, milk hanging off of his beard and all that.
And he says, wow, you know, geez, that really took a while. But after a while, I finally managed to get some milk out of that thing. And turned out that he had milked the bull and not the cow.
And then drank the milk.
Yeah, and then decided to drink it. So that was terrifying.
Oh, God.
And then just to smooth things over, yeah, thumbs down from the audience. to smooth things over at the end of this, at the end of the show, my last terrifying cheese story is the story of the oldest cheese, I think, that's on record. And that is a Lithuanian cheese that is 117 years old. And if you Google Lithuanian oldest cheese, as we did before the show started, you can be linked to a New Yorker article about this cheese. And apparently it was gifted to this man. His name was Charles Weinman in 1893 as a going away present when he emigrated from Lithuania to Johannesburg. And it became this family heirloom that he passed down to his kids, and they passed down to their kids, and so on and so forth. And they kept this cheese in a you know, wrapped up in foil, and they would, you know, on occasion show the cheese, you know, to the next generation. And they never ate it. And so now the cheese resides here in Brooklyn with a descendant. Yep.
Is it a raw milk?
I'm assuming so. I think
1893
pasteurization was.
Non-existent?
Yeah, non-existent.
Maybe.
So,
wow, it's here in Brooklyn.
It's here in Brooklyn somewhere. Maybe we can track down that scary cheese.
Yeah,
and get
that'd
it in the
be
studio.
That would be an interesting show for you to do, bring them in the studio.
I wonder how they got it to the States. I mean, because that probably smelled pretty bad too.
It's true.
Yeah, I mean,
but they had trunks back in those days. You just put it in the trunk, close it up.
How long has it been in the States?
That's a good question. I got to read the whole article. Wow. But if anybody has information on that oldest Lithuanian cheese, please, you know, email us or call us.
You got the castle, I got the cheese.
Yeah.
Like, who wins on that one? I don't know.
Well, yeah, that's a tough question. Well, thank you, everybody, for your terrifying cheese stories. And thanks, Shauna, for coming.
Yeah,
I always
have fun.
Tell our scary cheese story on air, and stick with us next week for another milk curdling episode of Cutting the Curd. Yeah.